Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition, as you just heard a minute of it, of the absolute truth show right here, Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the king of king himself, the man who pay bills around here. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, the one, the only, the sexual harasser himself.
Good Lord. Sean Black in the building once again for the 179th episode. How about
that? I thought
that?
You didn't say that last Thursday when we did the show.
Yeah. Well, I'm paying much more attention to it now because we're coming close to episode 200. It's a few weeks off, but the fact that we've been able to do this many episodes for so long is insane.
And I have nobody to thank but myself, indeed. Well,
of course.
You know the number to call, ladies and gentlemen. It is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Well, Tisha's still sleeping, Sean Black. Do you still want to, it happens. Do you still want to piss some people off?
Why?
Okay. All right. Well, as Sean Black and I discussed it earlier, excuse me, because I'm sober right now, I will be stuttering a lot.
Oh, boy.
The NFL,
that means I'm going to have to try to keep you in check for the rest of the show until you get drunk again?
Oh, of course. Come on. But the NFL, the Miami Dolphins team, I know this is a case we've been talking for the last 2 years, maybe 3 years or so. I just don't remember. And I don't want to repeat the whole story, about this protest and the knee situation. But come to a conclusion that the Miami Dolphins, they stated, Sean Black, that if any team member that take a knee or take a protest during the national anthem will get a 4-game suspension. Like I said, I don't want to go back to the whole story again. But with everything that's going on right now, Sean Black, with the history, with everything, do you think there's a point now that the NFL players should just drop the protest and just move on to other business or vendor or other ways to protest, and just play football? Or you think they should continue to quote unquote exercise their rights to take a protest?
I think they should continue to exercise their right as they have been doing, because they've been doing it peacefully. Nobody's gotten into any fights. Nobody has thrown any racial epithets at anyone. The issue here with this protest is, as we've talked about this before, the issue and the main issue behind the protests have been hijacked by the president, who basically took this idea and flipped it around into something that it wasn't. We already know what the protests were about, so we didn't even get into that. But what a lot of people are looking at is you're going to have a cross-section of people that look at football, and all they care about is, we want sports, we want football, we want our sports without any politics. Most people look at they look at sports to get away from it. What a lot of people are complaining about now, based on the extra outside noise that has happened from the president and people that have supported his voice and his opinion on this, and as it's trickled down toward a lot of the players and a lot of people in the league, is that they want this issue to go away. And the only way this is going to go away is with the players, the owners, coming to some sort of discussion to collectively bargain this. And what we've seen is a suspension of the whole anthem ruling that went down because they needed to explain what is going to happen, why it's going to happen, and to make sure that this doesn't become as much of a distraction as a lot of people think it is, or as it has become, because this has divided the fans, this has divided the players, and the owners look like bullies for enforcing this when the players are basically doing their due diligence as a First Amendment right to free speech.
Well, that's why I disagree with you, now respectfully, of course.
Of course.
Of that, calling NFL bullies, because in the end, I'm like you say this, Sean, some people just want their football. I probably have gone back and forth on this topic for the last 2 years with you guys, and I probably forgot most of the stuff that I said. But I'm at the point right now, all I want is just football. Yes, we have a lot of problems, and yes, they have to be addressed. But like you said, some people just want to get from politics to escape to football for 4 hours and yell at the TV and everything. But I have to look at this as a business aspect of it. As we discussed many times before, the ratings have been down, advertisement has been down, attendance probably still be the same but could be down, and Papa John's lost sponsorship because of what Papa John said. And I know that will bounce back what you just said earlier, but from a business aspect, if these are the rules, you must obey the rules. And I know you and the guys were talking about Prescott, the Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
Yes.
Maybe for the statement that he said, I don't consider him as a coon or a house Negro. Maybe he was looking out for his paycheck in the end. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong looking out for yourself once in a blue moon. Who will take care of you? Yourself first.
Dak Prescott is, I believe, 24 years old or 25 years old. He's going into his third season as a starting quarterback. His third season in the league, but this is going to be, his second or third year as the starter going in. He's their franchise quarterback. Now, a lot of people are saying he's just doing this because, like you just stated, he's looking out for his pocketbook. He's probably up for a contract at some point. If you are of the mindset that you believe so firmly in the national anthem and you firmly believe in the fact that you are of a team, and this is something that you're looking at as, well, if all the players are here and that's supposed to be the rule, then, yeah, he's doing that. I have no problem with that being his idea and his opinion. If that's how he firmly feels between himself and their starting running back, Ezekiel Elliott, if they both believe that, no problem. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the problem with this whole idea. The NFL has told the league no further talking about this until we can collectively bargain and understand where we're going to go with this. And Jerry Jones...
And what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. But here is the issue. Jerry Jones has always been that renegade.
You said there's nothing wrong with that. You just say there's nothing wrong with that, but here's the issue. That sounds like a contradiction to me.
I'm gonna explain why.
Okay.
Jerry Jones has always been a renegade. The NFL realizes that this entire incident, whole issue, should be suspended until we can talk to the players and get this taken care of. While this is going on, and the league has told everybody else, owners included, not to speak on this issue, Jerry Jones has gone out there and, exercising his free speech, continues to harp on the same subject. The reason why the league is telling him to shut up, basically, and the rest of the league to be quiet, is because you don't want to add any fuel to this fire. Remember, they're going to, at some point, try and get some sort of a discussion with the players. All 1,500 of them, or however many are in the league. And between them and the owners, and try to get on the same page to end this cycle. Because in the eyes of the public media, the ones that are away from this are looking at the players as either being insubordinates because they're not following what, quote-unquote, the rules are, or you're on the side and looking at the owners, and the owners are nothing more than bullies that are trying to institute something and not understand why the players are protesting.
If I sign you a check, these are my rules. Either you obey or leave.
That's the problem. The league has suspended all talk of that until they can get that underway.
There's nothing wrong with that part. I agree with the league on that part. The league should sit down and come together, because this has been a problem that's been going on for too long. So has this protest really helped or caused more damage overall? Taking a knee, we all talking about it, but it seems like everybody's getting nothing but upset. So I'm like, once again, if this is really helping, what the cause of why people are taking a knee, or is really hurting football and everything else?
When you figure 78% of the league are African-American or of minority descent, the issues that they're protesting for are documented. So, we don't need to harp on that part. For the entire league, all 32 teams, which are owned by all white men and one, I believe, Indian descent, and that's the owner of the Jaguars, Shad Khan. I believe he's from London, but he's either from Iranian descent or from Indian descent. I don't know offhand. Outside of that, all of those owners are rich white men. And for them to tell other African-American and minorities who have a lot more at stake for the reason why they're protesting, to tell them that they should not protest, it goes against the First Amendment. Yet, if this was a rule that was collectively bargained and that was the rule, that would not be an issue. There is no rule in the bylaws of the NFL that's telling the players that you have to stand up. It is a suggestion that has been documented. That's not something that was a requirement. This is something that happened because the armed forces decided to kick
change.
Money.
Rules can't change at any given moment.
But that's the reason why it has to be collectively bargained. Because if they unilaterally pass a rule that the players do not like, what will happen are the reason why you get these lockouts and strikes. Because when you're pushing rules into something like that is not bargained, that's when you're going to have issues. And that's the reason why this has to be talked with over representation through the union, through the Players Association, and with ownership, so that they can end the controversy and get back to what we've all been talking about, watching football.
Okay, we have Brother B and K-Dog in the house now. Brother B,
greetings.
Salutations.
How you doing?
Greetings and salutations.
Yo.
Yes.
Why are we talking about this again? Why is this still happening? Why?
Because.
Yo.
Is this...
Because what? Because why, man? Why? Listen, we know what. Listen, you know what? Once again, I got to put on my KFC Colonel Abrams suit and say, yo, check this out. Stay in your lane, boys. Stay in your lane, boy. I'm the owner. You run the ball. Stay in your lane. See, my thing is, this Jerry Jones guy, he doesn't want to shut his mouth because, once again, like Sean Black said, he's rich. He's a white man. He owns the city. He owns the team. So he feels he can say whatever he wants to say. Okay. You got players taking a knee during the national anthem because they're protesting, you know, violence against black people, which, of course, they don't hear any of that because that doesn't matter to them. Like, I don't know why we keep trying to make Black Lives matter to people who don't care. Maybe Black Lives need to matter more to us and then try instead of trying to convince someone else that we matter, because it's obvious they don't care. They've never cared since they got here.
Awareness? Is it all part of it?
No,
awareness,
stop. Educate. Who are you educating? Who are you educating? It's been overwhelmed. When did they step foot on 1492? When this dude Columbus came over here? Well, that's when it was, when they landed on Plymouth Rock, or Plymouth Rock landed on us, or however the case may be. Come on now. It's been too long. Who are you educating? They wrote the history books, and they wrote it their way. Do you really think they care? They run the narrative. They're not trying to hear anybody else switch it up. That's that. So listen,
well, be
you play
how
it,
dare
you
say
please.
That?
No, because
how dare
it's
you
the
say
truth.
They wrote the book. They did not write the
they
book.
Did.
They did not write the Bibles.
Listen. Someone interpreted it, and I'm sure they changed around a couple of words here and there. My issue is this.
Not to interrupt you, Brother B, but at least my final point on this whole thing with the NFL is I find it ironic that they want to implement morality when it comes to certain things, when they can't keep their own house in order with the domestic violence, how they screwed
that up.
What they've done with breast cancer awareness, how they want to force people to only wear pink during October because that's the what they have as far as the agreement with the Susan B. Komen Foundation and all of these things that are going on. They don't look at these things when they are just as important. But when it comes to social issues, the NFL wants to dictate you can talk about those issues and how important they are. And they're only important during certain times of the year.
But who is it important to? Like, real talk, it's not important to white people. It's not important to white people what happens to us. I'm not going to say everybody, because, you know, that's not true. So let me say, not every white person is on the same page. But, yo, you have a lot of people, they don't care. They don't care. So, once again, listen, I'm tired of trying to make somebody, listen. If you're in a bad relationship, are you still going to try and make it work? No, you're just going to leave it, right? And this is what black people need to realize. Stop trying to make something work. Get your bread and do your own thing. You want to run the ball and you say, hey, listen, white Jerry Jones, cut the check, shut your mouth, and let me do what I got to do. Who cares about the national anthem or not? Stop trying to be a part of something that no one wants you to be a part of. Make your money, do what you got to do. And that's that.
We'll get to K-Dog in a minute, but basically to answer my original question that started this conversation, Brother B, so basically with all these 2 years, should the NFL players continue to need to exercise their quote-unquote right, or just move on, play football, and just enjoy life again?
Do what black folk normally do. Go to church, sing a song, make a pie, and go about your business.
Hey, apple
what
pie.
Do you, what do you, what do you,
that statement right there.
What are
like
you protesting?
A coon.
What are you?
But that statement right there, you know, says it sounds like a coon stable or a house Negro.
No,
statement.
No, that is no. Coming from me, no. It's just the
I'm
fact
just,
that you're not.
Know.
Listen. You know what? My thing is this. Unless you're going to hang up your helmet and say, until you guys start treating me with some respect, because I'm out here on this field, yo. You get somebody else to do my position. If all those players walked out now, there wouldn't be an NFL.
Oh,
there would be no season. But of course, these Negroes will never be on the same page because they're too busy looking at the shiny thing. So Colin Kaepernick, he took the L. He took the L. He took the smack and the spit in the face. He took that. But we can't do that. So what about Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Mega, everybody else that laid down their life? What do we owe them? Nothing. Come on, man.
K-Dog.
Well, I gotta say the protest. You know, it was something that I stood by from the get go. Listen, what Colin Kaepernick was protesting about, if anybody really understood, is that the injustices that black people continue to face at the hands of the police. That's what he was protesting about. And so he says, you know what? I'm just going to take a knee in the national anthem because the national anthem doesn't pertain to me. It's not being disrespectful. It's taking a stand against a wrong that's being done, against an injustice that has been going on. And like Sean Black said earlier, there was no violence. There was no cursing, just silent protest. And we've all seen silent protests before. But I don't understand why everyone's getting mad at him. Plus, you have Donald Trump making a statement. I mean, as a leader, you're already failing already. And you're failing to see the issue here, the real issue. And Jerry Jones, if I were you, I'd stay silent. It makes no
sense
to talk.
K-Dog, you really think they fail to see an issue? Come on, man. You don't think they know what they're doing, man. They ain't stupid.
No, because you know what it is? Whenever someone takes a stand, it's a problem. Like, they become, excuse me for saying it, but they become
No. No, whenever a black person takes a stand.
Excuse me. Well, that's what I'm saying. Whenever a black person takes a stand, everybody throws a fit. Come on, we've seen this before. I mean, we've read about this before. Come on, when Muhammad Ali took a stand against fighting the war in Vietnam, didn't all hell break loose? Didn't they get upset?
Guess what? How many cats from other sports stood with him?
There were a lot of players that stood with him. There was a huge number of people like Bill Russell, people like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jim Brown. They all took a stand with Muhammad Ali. Now that Colin Kaepernick takes a stand, yeah, some black athletes out there that are not even supporting him. And that's the sad part about it.
All by myself.
Sean, anything like that?
I think what we're seeing now is kind of a microcosm of the kind of discussions that happen between the players amongst themselves and the media that's out there. But you're not hearing that same argument between the players and the owners. And I think this is the reason why the league has suspended all enforcement of these rules until they can get on the same page. And when they're able to do that and actually get on the same page and figure out what are we going to do next, what I think will probably happen is that the NFL will come up with some sort of thing that maybe in November we'll have a day where it's about, give it a day. They'll put a fancy bowl on it and say it's a African-American Awareness Sunday or whatever the case, and they'll donate to some charities. They'll probably have players talk about it or something, and then they'll kind of brush it under the table. I think that's what eventually will happen, because issues like these are the things that can rip the NFL apart, but without beating a dead horse, I think this is something that has to come to a head at some point. They're going to have to agree with something.
And I think that's part of the double standard of all these so-called movements that's going on. You make noise today and tomorrow is like crickets.
I've said this before. Like everybody makes noise one day, and then after that, business as usual. There's no time for business as usual. There's no time for that.
And that's I think there's a good segue to lead me to another movement that's, a lot of people have been making noise, especially this year and last year with the so-called hashtag Me Too movement. From the beginning, it was nonsense. I'm like, it's a good thing. By the same time, just like everything else, they make a lot of noise, then it'll go quiet. Or they make the right noise for the right amount of people. As Brother B, you're law enforcement. I'm sure you have a thousand.
I ain't law enforcement. I do security. Don't get me confused with not with some of those types. Thank you.
Okay. Security. Well,
I guess
there's
a distinct difference there.
Definitely.
I have a friend who is in law enforcement. He just joined the police, and he worked at a housing project. And this past weekend we had good talk. Not even a year he has on the job, and he told me, Hot Rod, I have so many stories. Could write a book about it already within the first few months. And most of it is about boyfriend and girlfriends fighting. How boyfriend would beat the crap out of their girlfriends to a pulp and the boys that's cheating, and you don't hear these stories on the media, or you don't hear a cry about this. Why? Because like Brother B said, you know, you pick and choose your battles, and since this is
mm-hmm.
the hood, nobody don't care about that. But if this happened to a celebrity, a whole big noise will be going crazy. And,
didn't they
want to
crucify? Didn't they want to crucify Johnny Depp? Last year, because they said that he allegedly hit his wife or his girlfriend or something like that. And
yeah, they
said
that.
Yeah, I think that's what led to their divorce or breakup. I think.
Yeah. I'm like, don't get me wrong. Relationships have the ups and downs, and there've been many domestic abuse and violence, and it needs to be controlled. But there's one story that caught our attention of the video that happened on Instagram. Sean Black, what was this video was about?
Please talk about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, if they haven't heard about it now, they're going to hear about it from us first. I believe this incident happened or was first reported on Friday of an Instagram video that was posted by an African-American teenager. I think she was maybe 17, 18. I'm not sure what the age is. And was doing an Instagram live selfie post or whatever she was doing. Now, while she was online and I guess chatting with other people that were looking at her feed and she just posing in the camera, you could hear in the background in another room
mm-hmm.
apparently her friend, a female, and her either boyfriend or whoever it was, and apparently she was being raped in the other room. Over Instagram Live, this can be heard. And Hot Rod and I, we talked about this. Anybody that has seen this video, you could hear the blood-curdling screams of this female in the other room, yelling and screaming,
yes.
"You're raping me, get off me, stop it, stop touching me," et cetera, et cetera. And you can hear him saying things and going cursing at her and left and right. Now, this is being heard online overall. So the person that, one of the people that is actually on there is looking at this teenager who is actually has this Instagram post going live. He asks her, because he can hear the yelling and screaming, "Oh, you're not going to help your friend? You're not going to go and, you know, sound like something's going on. You're not going to help your friend?" You know what this girl, teenage girl's response was? "It's not my problem." Before the video was cut off. This video happened maybe about a minute and a half or so. And then the video was cut. Needless to say, this video went viral. Lots of people started talking about it only after a couple of days after it was posted up online. And there were a lot of people wondering what happened after the event, as far as that went. This happened in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Apparently, there was a call to the police. And I believe the Baton Rouge police actually went on their Twitter page and said, well, there was a call, that something had happened, but there were ultimately no charges filed after this. So apparently whatever happened was resolved. Now, what brings the question up that the Hot Rod asked as far as the movement involved, there seems to be, which a lot of people would wonder if the Me Too movement or a lot of the other movements that would be all over something like this, we didn't hear anything about. Now, we can't, you know, we don't know as far as every single part of the story, as far as context, et cetera. But listening to this video and seeing it, we wondered this whole question. If a male had posted this video and did this same kind of nonsense where he's on Instagram, et cetera, he's doing everything, and this nonsense is going on in the background, you might have heard the Me Too movement. You might have heard any of the other movements that are supposed to be there for the protection of women, things that have happened. You would have heard something. But in a lot of instances when things like this happen and a female posts it or something happens with a female, you don't seem to hear as much outrage. And I think
exactly.
We are all wondering, where is that actual voice with something like this happening, and why did it take so long for this to get to the point where we're actually talking about it on our show now?
Brother B, I'll give it to you first. We have a new caller, but we'll get to you in a minute. Go ahead, Brother B.
I'll tell you. First of all, Harvey Weinstein didn't produce it. R. Kelly didn't come on and go viral with it, and it wasn't Bill Cosby in the room.
Oh, that explains everything.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're thinking is it wasn't a celebrity that went and that had this happen.
No, it was a regular person.
Why would the Me Too movement care about, well, first of all, the Me Too movement was, I hate to get into this, but okay, it was started by a black woman. It's what, 2006. It didn't pick up steam until what, 2017 or 2016 when Alyssa with Alyssa Milano. So my thing is this: you see where I'm kind of going with this. If a black woman who nobody was really paying attention to started this, but then it really caught fire when the white girl Alyssa Milano said it about another white person, and all of a sudden it caught fire. So you got a bunch of Negroes from Louisiana, and somebody screaming in the background. Nobody's taking it seriously because it could have been some type of prank or something. I mean, who knows? It could have been real. If it was real, then it was heinous. And that chick who put it up on who went viral with it should be arrested for accessory. But look at the situation that we have. Me Too don't care because it's not going to bring any big news. It's not going to. It's not going to bring on more.
Money.
Yeah, money. Yeah, or money. It's not.
Money.
It's not going to bring anything. So okay, why should they even care?
Call it 111. This could be Joe. Are you there?
Yeah. What's up, man?
Hey. What's going on?
Hey, what's up?
I ain't nothing.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I ain't nothing, man.
You want to say something?
I just be quick, man. I mean, with every organization or group or idea, there's going to be good actors and bad actors within it. People who are in it for selfish reasons or profile reasons, people who are dedicated because they think the issue is important. And no matter what, if you want to pick through any of those groups, you'll be able to find an actor bad enough to be able to say, see, this group is not legit. They're doing this, that, and the third. But in all honesty, I think it all comes back to, okay, is the issue important? Is the issue being addressed? And let people do the best that they can.
I mean, yo, I remember when that little white boy got teased, and you had NBA players, NFL players, rappers, everybody was coming out talking about that. But then when they found out it was a hoax, everybody got quiet.
But then after with this particular case, I mean, the video itself, anybody who's seen that video pissed me the hell off.
But why?
You hear the woman.
It didn't surprise me.
No, because you know why? This is the whole thing. Like you guys stated earlier, it was nobody famous. I mean, this was a girl getting raped. Rape is one of the worst crimes. Rape is a horrible crime to happen to a woman because when a woman is raped, she lives with it for the rest of her life. She's traumatized by this.
But how do we know she was raped? How do we really know that she was raped? How do you know they just wasn't playing? Listen, dude, I can scream fire and just have a match in my hand. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why
I have brought up the context part as far as they did call the police. The police actually came to the house, and apparently from what they stated, that everything was cleared up and there were no charges filed.
It could be staged if there was no report.
It could
because,
be.
Well, it was on camera. You heard noise in the background. Or the woman decided not to press charges. If that is the case.
Well, she probably knew her rapist.
Yep.
But so, here's the crazy part about this whole thing. Let's assume that this is all on the up and up. And we're going on the fact that this alleged rape, something happened, some sort of sexual impropriety, something happened in that room. The fact remains, even if this did happen, why would somebody be this callous and cold to actually broadcast at whatever age she's at and do something on a social media page while this is going on and seem so cavalier and so callous and so cold and so matter-of-factly and brushing it off as being so passive? if this legitimately happened, like I said, we're going on the assumption that all of this actually happened, then there is really fundamentally something wrong with a lot of youth in this country today.
No,
that this would actually continue and be allowed, and we have proof of it being on video. Now,
there's two reasons, Sean Black, I believe, what happened.
Okay.
Number one, as always, like we always say with these kids, attention. And number two, she did not care for the girl. She probably don't
basically
like the girl for whatever. Because if that was a true friend, she would have called. If that was a stranger, she would probably have called. Was that someone she might have pretend to be friend with, or another hater? You know what, in her mind?
Or maybe she set it up.
Or maybe
there's a whole lot of questions to ask. There's a whole lot of questions to be answered, and there's a whole lot of questions to ask about this case.
Well, let's go
okay,
to the new caller. What do you think, caller?
Yeah, well, I think you can ask all those questions because no matter what, we're speculating because we don't have enough information, and this is kind of the space that we're in now. We get so much content. We get so much information, and it's like, okay, this could go a million different ways. Because not only are people capable of the stuff y'all talking about, but it doesn't seem beyond the pale. Like, you're like, yeah, I can see somebody doing that. So it's kind of, you know, an indicator of what kind of society we in and how Americans are right now. So, like, the problems that we got with the youth, I would say the problems we got with the youth are minimal. The elder generations are the bigger problems, the cowards who would never change the society and voted for things to be what they are right now. And now the kids grow up into this already fractured, tore up, damn near broke society. So, you know, I'm just looking at it from that lens. But, man, some of the stuff we see online now, it's like, okay, I cannot be surprised at this point. You know what I'm saying?
I've said this before, and I say it again, about this thing called social media. People live their entire lives through social media. They cannot live a day without going through social media, especially with the young people now. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, whatever the hell it is, Snapchat, all of this. People are living their lives, their everyday lives, day to day. I mean, ask some of these young people, when was the last time they picked up a book and read?
Okay,
ask
now
them
check
the last
this
time
out.
They read.
Well,
Let me give it to Brother B first, then back to you.
Let the brother go because I'm throwing a curveball. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right, brother.
I would say check out this guy Tristan Harris, where he talks about just these internet tools and social media and things like that. They're being made specifically to keep you engaged, and they're monetizing how long your attention span is on them. So it's the attention.
How long can I keep you on this app?
So that's what they're basing these things on. Now, the other side of that is 75% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, but yet you go to Instagram and hell, let Instagram tell us the majority of us are not only wealthy, but we set money on fire. So how does that work out? People's lives are becoming so dire and becoming so hard that it becomes much better to live this internet life and present a certain front to other people. And they get joy out of that. So that's the scary thing.
The companies that are running these companies right now, they also better watch out because, as we remember, over the weekend, Friday I believe, Facebook lost a ton of money. They lost well over $100 billion in stock.
Yes, they
Twitter
did.
Twitter lost a whole bunch of money, some billions of dollars in stock. So if they're not careful and they don't figure out a way to quote unquote monetize their product, they're going to find out that somebody's going to move elsewhere to somewhere else.
Well, all right, now check this out. So there was talk of, since we want to talk about the whole rape thing, there was talk of Charlamagne from
the God. Power
105.
Right.
God, I will never put Charlamagne in G.O.D. in the same sentence. Never.
Small man,
anyway.
But he is an a-hole. He's a small man, but he is an a-hole. I'll give credit to that. Well, go ahead.
Yeah.
So there was talk of him, apparently he had a conversation with somebody, and he was telling them how he would put Spanish fly and all this stuff in girls' drinks and have sex and whatever. And then you had this other jerk off, Derek Jackson, basically saying that, okay, did this guy just admit that he raped women? Now, last time I looked up the definition of race, which has been a minute, it didn't it mean like forcible penetration or forcible touching, this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
I think that we're kind of, like, you can't just label anything rape. We know it's a sensitive, very sensitive thing. But we have to keep things in perspective. We got to keep things in perspective here. And people got to stay out of their emotions. Because people let their emotions come first, and then logic is out the window. I remember that stuff, Spanish Fly, back in the days. They would put it in the chick's drink, and this, that. Listen, we all adults here, and some of us are not. We all know the game that people play when it comes down to wanting to get some ass or somebody wanting to just have sex in general, however you want to call it. Dude is using some type of aphrodisiac, and if a woman knows about it, I mean, come on, it is what it is. Don't sit there and call rape that things didn't go your way. Some women do it, some women don't.
But what happens if you don't know about it? It's like drinking with a Bill Cosby. If he puts a thing in there, like, here you go, drink it. Is that the same thing?
Listen, though, you can't force somebody to drink. Let's be real here. Come on, man. Like I said, we got to take the emotions out of it, and let's think logically. 9 times out of 10, a woman knows if she's going to get you, she's going to piss you off or not. We as men, we may think we know, but of course they have the ultimate control. They run the show, so they know whether they're going to have sex. Yeah, they have the power. So they know whether you're going to have sex or not. So 9 times out of 10, depending on how the scene is set, a situation doesn't have to be forced, because there's that whole thing of consent. So it's like, if she doesn't say it, then that means he's not supposed to do it. Okay.
I was in the same situation
some years ago. She didn't say it, and I didn't do it. Like I said, and I told the story before. I saw the chick at work Monday morning, and she refused to speak to me. She refused to speak to me. And matter of fact, she actually told somebody else, like, "Yo, I invited this dude to my house. I did this, I did that. And he ain't do nothing. He ain't even touch me." So I was like, "Wow, I thought I was being a gentleman." See, so that's what I'm saying. It depends on who you're dealing with. Like I said, it's a very sensitive subject. It's very touchy. But we can't throw that whole word rape on everything. It's like you just can't put mustard on every goddamn thing. Sometimes there's mayonnaise. Sometimes there's ketchup. There's different condiments. Mm-hmm. But you just can't overall use that word. And nowadays people are using that, and they know the power behind it, and people are getting screwed behind that.
It's funny that you say that, because I cannot speak for Sean Black, because he doesn't drink. But I know many men who go out with drinks with ladies, and what do we do? We'll buy a lady a drink, give her a long
and they get drunk, and then they get drunk, and next thing you know, you're getting some, you know what?
You know, you want, like Brother B said, the girl already know whether she will give you something or not. Us guys, we try to find ways to, you know, pressure you to give it up most of the time without using the word rape or raping a woman. But Sean, would you like to add on, since you don't drink, loser?
Well, I don't have issues. Because that those issues that most people have when they do drink, either too much or, I guess, not enough. But anyway, looking at all of the patterns and all the things that we've talked about, when it comes to that word rape, it's more or less the levels of consent. It shouldn't really make much of a difference whether it was consented to drink this or consented to take this pill. Once there is sexual contact that does not have consent, that is
forcible.
Where rape enters the question.
But
forcible,
what
right.
happened? Forcible. No. It's forcible. That's the thing. We keep changing. People keep changing the definition of things. It's forcible. Then they want. Listen, consent is in there too. But first things first, it's forcible. That's
right.
The whole thing. Consent is another part of it. Because the whole thing is this. When you look at consent, depending on the situation, so if a woman is drunk and she doesn't consent, I get that because she wasn't in her right frame of mind. I don't like dealing with women who are intoxicated anyway. Some people do, but you know what? I got a daughter.
Some people love it.
I got a daughter, and I tell my daughter now, never put yourself in a situation where you can't control yourself. Never put yourself in a situation where you can't control yourself, and you might do something that you will not, that you wind up regretting.
And that's how terrible things happen, because you know what? Let me tell you, this whole thing with women being drunk, and some guys, they see it on the street, and you know, it's gotten so bad as of late that you know it's hard to make a conviction, and it's hard to charge, because you know what? Everyone's looking like, oh well, she was drunk, so how do you know that she didn't give it up easily? How could she call it a rape? You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not being insensitive to the subject of rape, but
she
was incoherent. Was she, you know, because oh, she probably was so drunk that oh, she probably wanted to have sex and all of that. They do bring that up. They will bring it up in the case.
So what about that white? What about that white boy who they didn't send to jail because they said jail would change him? What did he do? The girl was intoxicated. And he basically,
I think you're talking about Brock
raped
Turner.
Her. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But
exactly.
Did he catch a rape charge?
Nope.
Exactly.
He didn't.
Exactly. But where's the Me Too? Where was Me Too at?
Well,
and that's what I'm saying. You can't pick and choose your battles.
Well, they got the judge who made that ruling off the bench, and they were advocating for that for a long time. I think the issue here is, like, if in the terms of progress, just here is human activity, things are going to change, like, no matter what. Things are going to change. You're going to get more accurate definitions, and you're going to get definitions from the victims, from the people who are in that condition. So it's not a thing about the definitions. It's about how comfortable you are with certain risks. So the way the brother who was just talking, he sounds like if him and a woman are drinking, he's like, yo, I'm not taking any risks at this point because this could go the other way. And
you
then I could
damn
get that
right.
Wrong.
You damn right.
That's
my brother. That's
right,
right, man.
Right. That's a logical conclusion to take because you're protecting yourself.
But wait
right.
a minute. But real quick,
it.
Real quick,
hold,
real
hold
quick
on,
it's not
on,
only just risk, but it's also respect.
But just hold on. But this is not a thing of saying, like, this is a false definition, and if you do some Spanish fly and things like that, that's not an aphrodisiac. That's you're putting something in somebody's drink without them knowing to get a different behavior. Like if you're pouring drinks and you're like, yo, I'm putting this in here. You want to have some of this with Spanish fly in it? That means that person is consenting to what you're pouring and y'all drinking and you're getting down. Once you slip in somebody's drink something, then you're talking about you skirting consent laws because you're trying to get that person in a position where you can take advantage of them. And
well,
if
that
person pulls it
about
out, then you're in trouble.
Exactly.
Now, that Brock guy y'all talking about Stanford, that was a wealthy, young, white kid from Stanford. Any brothers out there think they're going to get the same treatment? If you go to jail,
like, hell no.
That ain't the example.
You're
going to
get that treatment? You're going to get the book thrown at you.
That ain't the example to use for us, bro.
But wait a minute. But that's my problem. Why is it, doesn't he? See, rape is rape.
You know, rape is
so
rape.
Rape
shouldn't have a color.
American,
rape shouldn't have a color.
The American
rape
legal system being for sale. If you can afford a top dollar, $800 an hour billing lawyer, you can get off on things. Like, this ain't nothing.
Exactly.
Or even more so, if you have an even more sympathetic judge, because the judge actually went and said, I didn't throw the book at him because I did not want to ruin his life. That is what the judge specifically said to a guy that raped somebody. He only served 6 months in jail out of a potential 21-year sentence. And the judge basically went and said, I did not want to ruin his life. He served enough time, et cetera, et cetera. And it also didn't hurt that the judge actually went to his alma mater at Sanford anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing two things. He was looking out for his alma mater, and he was also looking out for this quote-unquote young kid who didn't want to throw his quote-unquote life away.
So hold on to Brother B. Well, that story about Brock. Was that an example of white privilege, as we discussed it last week?
No, I'm not. You know what? I think it was just birds of a feather that flocked together.
judges. That's what I think it is. I don't think it had anything to do with color. I just think it was birds of a feather. Because the judge probably was on the same type of BS when he was young. He might be on the same type of BS now.
Okay. You take Cam Newton and put him in that position with that same judge. Do you really think that was going to play out the same, bro?
No, it's not going to play out the same because you know
not.
He's going to get on, he's going to get
on.
The book thrown at him.
Hold on, go ahead, brother B.
No, I'm just saying. No, I don't think it was going to be looked at like. Of course, they're going to throw the book at that dude. Listen, you know, I mean, some people see color. Some people don't. Who's to say that the judge? No. Listen. It's the truth. Some people see it. Some people don't. You know. Listen. Sometimes it could be a situation where, listen, maybe I just don't like you. Or maybe I just don't like your demeanor. Maybe I don't like the way you're talking. Like, there's so many factors. There are two. We can't just narrow it or put it on one thing. But I will say this. It's interesting how Bill Cosby then went through all types of trials and everything else, and Harvey Weinstein has yet to see one day in court. But no one is talking anything about that. See, we can laugh and we can talk and we can speculate everything. But you know what? You think the people that we talking about, you think they talking about us? No, because they don't care.
There are some points as black people where we get to the point where we say, I don't want to be calling out racism because then they're going to think I always yell racism. So in order to avoid that charge, we'll duck things that are right in front of our face and say, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. What era are we in right now? A Trump era, a man who ran to the White House based on dog-whistling racism and the anger of the white community. Look at how the voting rates were. And we're still trying to, you know, kind of kick around the edges and say that this country isn't inherently racist. Like, dude, there's only so much you can avoid. It is what it is.
Exactly.
But if that's the case, but that's the thing. There may be so much that we can't avoid, but we ain't doing shit about it.
What
this whole discussion is about. You're talking about Jerry Jones and people taking knees and all this and that. We're quick to protest. We're quick to shout fire, but we whisper revolution. Either you're going to do it or you're just going to get done. Simple
and plain.
There's no gray area. So if you want to talk race, we can talk that talk because I can give you that. But if you want to put some foot around, I will
really
do that too.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray area. Matter of fact, that's usually where we work the best because what? We're a minority population, outgunned, outmanned, so you have to somewhat trick the master to a degree to make things happen, which we've done
for
decades.
The only gray that I'm dealing with is the color of my beautiful
people.
I just want to go
finish.
Amen.
I think the discussion that I think everybody else should be having, and a real frank discussion where we're not skirting anything, we're not going around the edges, we're not trying to sugarcoat anything, and get to the main issues involved, the discussion that we're having right now, and bring that all to the forefront. And I think if more people were honest with themselves about the progress of the discussion, the recession of progress that is not being made, and the lack of any real quote-unquote leadership. Because as I brought this up to Hot Rod earlier in the day, I said that this is now a time for the millennials that have looked at things that have happened way back in the past. We talked about the Emmett Tills and all of the other things that have happened in the past. We have instances that are happening that are just as egregious, and in some instances more so, because the racism that we've seen is not as overt as we've seen in the past. A lot of it is a little more subdued. Now we have those same instances happening. We now have the technology to catch it. And now when we have it on tape or we have it on video or it's online and social media, now that this is here, the militant millennials that we've seen that want to be active activists that want to go out there and be politicians and want to change things, now they have the means and the rights to do so because it's right in front of their laps. What are they going to do with it now? That's where we're at right now.
Okay, back to the brother. Well, Sean will talk forever. Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, I'll just say real quick. Millennials actually outnumber baby boomers right now, but they don't use their voting power.
Yeah.
So that's a huge problem of what he's talking about as far as being civically engaged. And as the brother who talked about revolution, always remember, and the great Dale Jones used to say this, revolution is a process, not an event. So any revolution you ever see that's been successful, it's been based on creating mass movements, organizing, and at a certain point, even when all those things fail, then it could get violent or, you know, however it's going to, you know, however the change is going to come about. But this idea that, you know, people are just going to say, you know, the hell with it, I'm going to get out here in the streets and do this, that, and that. Say, look, man, did you register your license? Did you pay your rent last month? Like, we have to be honest about, you know, the limitations to how far you can go when it comes to armed struggle. Like, are we really, as a minority population, without weaponry, without ammunition, without the ability to really organize ourselves on that scale, going to do that? Like, no. So let's do more, you know, sensible things and say, okay, we need to actually get into voting. We need to get into economic building with each other. We need the idea of solidarity. We need to join organizations who are doing something you agree with, a problem you want solved. So we have to do feasible things. We can't go into this.
And wait a minute, I get that. But yet, a white man picked a fight in Florida and then was able to shoot a black man in the chest in front of his son. And then the cop said it's a justifiable shoot. And you're looking for calm or sensible ways to organize and stuff like that. See, that's the thing. We keep brushing it off, and it's going to keep happening. And they do it to antagonize us because they know that we're not going to do anything. I'm just being real about it.
Not true. There's gonna be a rebellion there eventually. It's always a camel that breaks the straw that breaks the camel's back. We have a rebellion, and then after rebellion, we go sit down because they're unorganized,
exactly, hot rock,
acting off emotions, and then you get pushed back a few more spaces.
Oh man!
We can get angry and go off, but that's
with these kids today and this younger generation. I can't see that anymore.
Nope.
It's a way different generation. And like part of it is parenting and part of it is society. But like I told Brother B this morning, I'm afraid of our kids now. And you know, he has a
I grew up in Chicago in the 90s. These kids are hard, but they ain't that. Okay, bro. So I mean, it'd be nice if we could think in that term. And look, I want black people to have a much solidarity.
So you said you grew up in the 90s.
Think in revolutionary ways.
Yeah, well, you said the 90s? Listen, brother.
Yes, sir.
We were more organized back then mentally. We were older now. Before we were a little more, you know, mentally, like even the music was different. Now, Tekashi.
It's like this. Let me tell you something. Right now, it's a whole different it's a whole different generation because we're living in an era where there's modern technology. We're living in an era where we're being run by social media, by trash television. And you know what? These young people today, you have to wonder where their minds are going.
They ain't going nowhere.
They lazy. There's any wondering anymore. I think we know where
their
minds are.
There's no more wondering.
Excuse me. You know I love and hip hop. Okay, so watch your mouth. Okay, that's not a trashy show. It's a ghetto show. Okay, so be careful. That's like a trash show.
It's between ghetto and trash.
It is.
I guess
it's trash television.
Yes. Well, guys, wow, very powerful tonight. And I thank you all, gentlemen, for this powerful show. And you know what? Bottom line, whether we agree or disagree, we have a problem. It should be solved. And the only way this problem could be solved is by working together overall. And
that's it.
Don't organize. And unfortunately, I guess it's our job to keep teaching these people every week on our program on getting organized. I just feel bad for this younger generation. That there's no, they don't have strong leaders like we did back in the 90s and the 80s. And like you guys said, we was mentally better back in the 90s compared to now. Now, you got people showing off on Instagram. Oh, what?
Oh, my goodness. Living off their entire lives.
To Brother B, I wish we had a generation that was talking about what you're talking about and ready for that. but we're just not in that position. Because like you talked about,
we're not.
When we have these rebellions and we you know, burn the city and do what we got to do, we always go back and sit down and then wait for them to push us back a few spaces.
Like, and business
and then it
as usual.
Again.
We got business
I'm
as usual.
I'm with you 100%. I'm with you 100%, brother.
Yes. Good night, guys.
All right, y'all.
Good night. All right.
Good night.
Good one.
Good night, y'all.
Later.
For sure.